problem. You come in with a complaint list. And so because you complain about any and everything, all they want is money over there. Just money, money, money. That's all I hear is money, money, money. Now that's all they're talking at the mall is money, money, money. That's all they talk at the mall is money, money, money. Help me, somebody.
Come on, preach. Come on, preach. Preach.
Help me, somebody. That's all they talk is money, money, money. Everywhere you go, the car lot is talking money, money, money. Help me, somebody. The real estate agent is talking money, money, money. The bank is talking money, money, money. But the church, shh. Tell me about heaven, but I don't want to hear about money. Help me, somebody. So now we come in with a complaint. And our complaint deter us from complimenting God with a praise. Yeah. And so now the psalmist cannot connect his music with his dancing. He's lost his rhythm. And I tell you, when you go through things in life, it'll cause you to lose your rhythm. Have I got a witness? It'll cause you to, help us, watch this. It'll cause you to lose your gospel groove. You can't get your gospel groove on anymore because you're too focused on your problem rather than on your praise. And so instead of dancing, you waste up space on the gospel dance floor. So he cannot express himself because dancing is an expression. Yes, it is. It is an expression. People dance because of what they believe, how they feel, how they are worth a thing or a situation. People dance. They are victory dance. They are war dance. Have I got a witness? They are what you've just seen the lambs of God do is called liturgical dance. Liturgical suggests Eucharistic or a rite. It is an expression to God. It is a praise. They're not performing. It's a presentation of praise. Have I got a witness? And so what the psalmist's problem was is that he could not present his praise to God through his dance. And dancing was a formal way of him expressing his appreciation to the goodness of God. Have I got a witness? And so now he has a problem now because the devil has cut off his dance. He has deterred him from his destiny. Because what God wants us to do is dance our way to destiny because of because of what dancing suggests, that you are happy to be a child of God. Have I got a witness? And so what happened is that the psalmist locked himself up into his room, into his house. He clothed himself off from everybody. Whenever you start distancing yourself from everybody, you get smoothie. Help somebody.
We at the Tree of Calvary Baptist Church hope that you were blessed by our pastor's message. Join us at our Sunday services. Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. and worship services at 10:15 a.m. Second Sunday, 6 p.m., the Lord's Supper is served, and midweek services are Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. Come and join us. God has a blessing with your name on it. If additional information is needed, you may phone the church at 318-941-2877. That's 318-941-2877. God bless you until we meet again at this same time and place. That would be the day when you are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Book of Romans, chapter 12. We want to call your attention to verses 14 through 21. Now, it really is necessary for you to understand the gravity of this text. It is necessary that you read the entirety of this 12th chapter, amen, so that you can appreciate what the Lord has for you on today. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 14, there you will find these words. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from the subject, being like Jesus. Being like Jesus. Thank you, ushers. I never will forget a few years back before I took the handsome picture that you see gracing the lobby, me in the black suit. Before that, I had a picture that when I first started pastoring, there was a picture, and it's still in my office back there. And it was this picture from my first year of pastoring, 19 years ago now. I was 26 years old, and this was the picture that we had in the newspaper advertising our worship here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And I never will forget one Wednesday night in prayer meeting, a woman came in, and when we were acknowledging the visitors, she stood up and she said that I saw this picture of this young, handsome preacher in the newspaper, and it was just almost as if his spirit came out of the newspaper. And I said, I gotta find that church. I gotta get to that church where that handsome young preacher is serving as pastor. And she looked around the room. She said, I don't see him here tonight, but I'm here. But it was after that experience that I realized I had to change pictures. Amen. I had to put a more up-to-date picture in the newspaper. And somebody whispered in my ear the other day and said, it's time for another up-to-date picture. But the question I want to raise to you today is, do you look like your picture? Or better yet, do we look like the picture that is painted of us in Scripture? Because the Bible suggests to us that in a real sense, God wants us to look like his son Jesus. One of the things I hear people say all the time, and I'm sure my brothers and my sisters here, amen, they can bear witness to this, that many times we run into people and they say, they don't know us, but they say, you must be Willie Garner's son. Because in a real sense, we look like our daddy, amen. Again, my brothers and sisters, the question comes, do we look like Jesus? Do you know and understand that God's ultimate goal for each of us as believers is that he will not be satisfied, he will not be comfortable, amen, until we look like Jesus? As a matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, the word says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that suggests to us that God wants us to look like the picture of his son that we see painted in Scripture. His ultimate goal is that what we profess line up with what we practice. His ultimate goal, amen, is that we move from lip service to lifestyle. And so I've come by this morning to tell us that if we're going to ever look like Jesus, there's some stuff that has to happen. And that's why I told you that it's important that you read all of this, because to get a full grasp of what it's going to take for you to look like Jesus, you got to start out with the presentation and the transformation in verses 1 and 2. Because verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's step number one. If you're going to ever look like Jesus, you've got to say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I give you all of me. See, a lot of us is sort of like at your house when you have company, amen. You let them in certain areas of your house. But if they get to going in your bedroom and going in your closet and going in your refrigerator, you're going to have a problem, right? Amen, amen. And we do the Holy Ghost just like that. Do you know that the Holy Ghost wants all of you? I said all of you. See, a lot of folk have it twisted because they think that being filled with the Holy Ghost means how much of the Holy Ghost you have. But that's not what being filled with the Holy Ghost is. It's not how much of the Holy Ghost you have. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is how much of you does the Holy Ghost have. You let him in your living room, but how many of you, amen, have presented yourself to God in such a way that you've said, Lord, here am I. Take all of me. Take control. Amen. Use me until you use me up. Or you're going to look like Jesus. Well, in this text, Paul lets us know that if you're going to look like Jesus, there's some things you have to do. First of all, you have to watch your actions. Tell your neighbor, you got to watch your actions. Watch your actions. And when you look at this whole thing of actions, you discover that it involves two or three very important things. In verse 14, he says, you've got to watch your communication. Amen. Look at it in verse 14. He says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Somebody didn't hear it. Let me read it again. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Now, there's a distinction I need to make between two words. There is curse and there is cuss. There's a difference. Amen. See, when you curse somebody, you speak a word. Amen. It's like if I got mad at you and I said, Lord, let her fall and break her leg. Let her children act crazy. See, you're speaking a curse into the life of that person. And what Paul tells us is that if we're going to look like Jesus, we cannot curse even our enemies. And not only should you not curse them, you ought not cuss them either. I'm talking about profanity. And see, some of y'all are sitting back like, you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's sort of like the United States. You know, we have this great nuclear arsenal, and we pray that we never have to use it. Because it's been said that if we use our nuclear arsenal, if China uses its nuclear arsenal, if Russia, we would destroy the world, and there's enough power to destroy the world 10 times over. And so even though we have that nuclear arsenal, we pray that we'll never have to use it. And some of y'all are like that with your cuss words. Come on, you've been saved a few months, and amen, you've been saved a few years, but you haven't forgotten all those words. Come on, come on, come on. And you know when folk get to bothering you, you say in the recesses of your mind, I pray that I don't have to get my arsenal. But what the Lord wants us to know today is that when your enemies come against you, when your enemies do you harm, he says you've got to watch your actions. You've got to watch your communication. Instead of cussing them, instead of cursing them, he says you ought to bless them. Bless them. Now, this word bless is derived from the Greek word eulogio, which is the same word we get eulogy from. And it means to praise. It means to speak well of your enemies. When they talk about you, speak well of them. When they persecute you, he says, speak well of them. Oh, my God. If you're going to look like Jesus, you got to watch your actions. You got to be careful how you communicate. And when I was reading this, I was wondering, when he got to talking about enemies, is he talking about just enemies outside of the church? See, some of y'all want to act like you don't have there aren't any enemies in the church. But I had somebody tell me that there ain't no hurt like a church hurt. Amen. And some of you, if you had time, if you could testify right now, you would admit that there's some folk right in the house who've been jumping and clapping and shouting and all of that. But you know in your heart they don't like you. And every chance they get, they put their mouth on you and wish evil in your life. Amen. And God says, whether they're inside or outside, he says, let your communication about them be praise. Bless them. Paul, you don't know what he said. Paul, you don't know what she did. I hear you, and I like the spiritual implications of all of that, but Paul, you don't know, amen, amen, what they did to me. Paul is telling us that if we're going to look like Jesus, we've got to check our communication. Watch your actions. But secondly, not only do you have to watch your communication, in verse 15, he tells us, you've got to check your compassion. Compassion, compassion, compassion. Look at what he says in verse 15. He says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Talking about your enemies. When they're doing well, rejoice with them. When they're having problems and they're going through, he says, not only should you sympathize with them, but in a real sense, you've got to empathize with them. See, when you have sympathy for somebody, you're saying, I feel sorry that you're in your situation. But when you empathize with somebody, it's just like saying, I feel your pain. I'm in it with you. I understand what you're going through. I feel what you feel. You've got to watch your actions. You've got to watch your communication. And then you've got to watch your compassion. But then he tells us something else. In verse 16, the A part of verse 16, he says that if you're going to look like Jesus, your concern has to extend out to the community. Community, to the community. Look at what he says in verse 16, verse 8, part 8. He says, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. My brothers and sisters, if you're going to look like Jesus, thank God for Sunday morning worship. Thank God for your praise and all of that. Amen. But if you really want to look like Jesus, you've got to, your concern for others has to extend beyond the walls of this church. Oh, my God. You've got to have an impact on people's lives who are outside of your socioeconomic sphere. Y'all know how we do. We hang with folk who make the same money we make, live in the same kind of house we live in. Amen, amen, in the same organizations that we're a part of. But if you're going to look like Jesus, and somebody ought to shout right here, because you ought to be thankful that you serve a kind of God who does not acquaint himself with you, who does not associate himself with you based upon how much money you have in the bank. Can I get a witness today? You ought to thank God that you serve a God, amen, who in spite of your income, in spite of your education, he says, I want you to be in my family. I love you, and I'm sending my son to die for you to prove my love for you. And my brothers and sisters, if we're going to look like Jesus, we've got to do the same thing. We've got to be concerned about, amen, the prostitute. We've got to be concerned about the drug addict and the drug dealer. We've got to be concerned about, amen, those young people who are having problems and who are getting in trouble. We got to stop writing folk off. Amen. What if Jesus had written us off? What if in our mess-ups and our mix-ups, he said, I'm through with you and I'm tired of you and I'm not going to have anything to do with you? Is there anybody happy to know that he looked beyond your faults and he saw your needs, and in spite of your mess-ups and your mix-ups, he said, I'm going to go to the cross and die for you? But then I need to let you know that there's something else happening in this verse, in this passage. There are also some haters up in here. Anybody got any haters? Somebody told me they tired of hearing me talk about haters. Amen. But if you ain't never had any haters, chances are you ain't doing nothing. If you've never had any haters, amen, chances are you're not a threat to anybody. Nobody, amen, wants to aspire to be what you're doing, amen. But are there any real folk in the house who will admit, yes, Pastor, I've got some haters. I know what haters are all about. Anybody know haters? Smile in your face and all the while trying to take your place. Y'all getting so spiritual. Got to deal with haters. He says, check your communication, check your compassion, check how you deal with your community. But then he also tells us we've got to have a spirit of commutation. Commutation, that's a legal term. In law, when somebody is sentenced, amen, when somebody is found guilty of a crime and they're sentenced, if the judge comes in and says, I'm going to give you a lesser sentence than what you should have, he has basically commuted your sentence. And that's what Paul tells us we got to do if we're going to be like Jesus, no matter what they did to you, no matter what they said about you, amen, no matter how bad it hurt, and you know in your heart you wish this amount of evil to come into their lives, but if you're going to look like Jesus, you've got to commute that sentence and say, Lord, I don't want that to happen to them. Lord, I don't want them to be destroyed. Lord, I don't want bad things to happen in their life. You've got to be willing to commute their sentence. And let me remind you that you're here today and you're looking good and cute and all of that, but if it had not been for the grace of God, if it had not been for him commuting your sentence, amen, we would all be on our way to a devil's hell, because in spite of what your Bible says, I know some of you in your Bibles where it says all have sinned. Some of you put a Y in front of that all, and all you know is that y'all have sinned. But let the real folk who love God and who know that he looked beyond their faults and saw their needs testify that all of us have sinned. All of us have messed up. All of us have come short of his glory. But thanks be to God, he commuted my sentence. You ought to thank him today. I need to tell you that even though God wants us to bless the folk that hurt us, even though he wants us to love and pray for the folk who despitefully use us, that don't mean you got to be in their face all the time. No. Some of y'all, we got to love long distance. Get me a calling card and love you. Get me some binoculars. Come on now. See, we preach being real over here. Now, the Bible's telling us that we ought to love them and all of that, but come on, sometimes you know if you're up in their face all of the time, amen, it's not blessing them. You're just doing it to bug them. Don't render evil for evil. I was at the Chicken Shack. So you had to go to Baton Rouge and know something about, amen, Acadian Boulevard to know about the Chicken Shack. There's a place called the Chicken Shack. I was at the Chicken Shack the other day. I'm telling you, they have the greasiest. Some of y'all think church's chicken is greasy. The Chicken Shack. If you want to just go and get the greasiest chicken you can find, go to the Chicken Shack. But it's good. It's good chicken. Amen. I was at the Chicken Shack. I was at the Chicken Shack the other day, and I was in line, this long line, and there was a man came in, and you could tell that he was homeless, and you could tell that he was poor, and he had this odor of liquor on him, and he came in with this handful of change, and he went up to a young man. He said, "I got $4 in change here. Can I get four $1 bills from anybody?" And this one young man just looked at the man with such disgust that it bothered me. I mean, he looked at the man like he wasn't human. He looked at him like he was an animal that had wandered in off the street. And I had in mind this message that I was going to preach today, and the Spirit of God rose up in me and said, "Don't you treat him like that." He was all dirty and smelling and all of that. Amen. But I said, "How you doing, sir?" I said, "I may have what you're looking for." And I went in my pocket and I had four $1 bills, and he had this handful of change, and I said, "No, I don't want all that change." I said, "You keep your change, and here's your $4, and God bless you." And he walked away. No, I'm not doing that for applause. I'm not doing that. Amen. I'm not doing that for any commendations from you. What I want to show you is that, you see, it's easy for us to bless those kind of folk. We don't mind, if somebody hungry, and we know they really down, and we don't mind helping them, but that ain't the folk Paul is talking about. He's not telling us to feed, amen, hungry folk. He's not telling us to give water to folk who are, we don't know. He's saying, "I want you to do this for the folk who lie on you." He said, "I want you to do this for the folk who scandalize your name and scandalize your children's name." Oh, Lord. Not mama's baby. He ain't gonna talk about my baby. Now, I'll forgive you for talking about me, but oh, she went too far, she done talked about my baby. Oh, God, I'm gonna give her a piece of my mind. I'm gonna give her a piece of my mind. Some of y'all need to stop giving folk a piece of your mind. That's why you're almost crazy now, because you've been giving away so many pieces of your mind that you ain't got no mind left. He said, "I'm telling you to bless." Yeah, you ought to bless poor folk. But he said, "If you're going to be like me, I want you to bless folk that hate you." Oh, see, amen. Y'all getting quiet now. But you can do what you want to do, but I'm determined I'm going to be like Jesus one day. And guess what? I'm working every day. I'm not everything I ought to be. I'm not everything I want to be. Oh, but can I rejoice right up in here? Because thank God I'm not what I used to be. There has been some progress in my life. Is there anybody in the house today who can say I'm looking more like Jesus every day? The more I walk with him, the more I talk with him. So he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. The next thing you got to do, after you check your actions, Paul tells us you got to check your attitude. Be part of verse 16. He says, "Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." He's telling us, don't get the big head. See, some of y'all, the only way you can get in here on Sundays, you got to come through these double doors, because some of y'all heads are so big that you can't come through the single door. Oh, Lord. Conceited folk. Two nickels above poverty. One wave. Pass some of y'all on the road, amen. You driving like if you take a hand off that wheel, you can, amen, wave it for, and they won't see them at the post office. They won't speak. Amen. Amen. He tells us if you're gonna look like Jesus, you can't be conceited. And what I found out, and it's interesting to me, and I had to ask myself, why does he harp on this? Because he says the same thing in verse 3. He says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man.